can get started. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we can come and worship and glorify you, that everything that we do today will bring glory and honor to you. We pray that you guide this lesson and that we can learn more about the time that you have in place for us and the promise that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No handouts, and I know everybody was disappointed then. So, okay, I do want to open up. We are going to talk about we had Christ's return come last Sunday, and he's now going to be establishing the millennial kingdom. I do want to read. This is from the Charting the End Times with now this is the Tim LaHaye Thomas Ice book. And I'm just going to read what they had to say. It says, to open up here. Oops. Said, very little has been written about who populates the millennial kingdom, but it is a highly significant subject. Few people will actually be left on earth in the transition from the tribulation to the millennial kingdom. Those that are alive at the time, few people will survive, one, the tribulation, and then those that have taken the mark of the beast, they're not going to survive because Christ is going to return at that time. So there's going to be a few people, okay? So the low number of people is easy to understand when you consider that possibly 500 million Christians or more will be raptured before the tribulation, including children under the age of accountability. So there's that concept of age of accountability. I'm not sure, other than what I brought forward last Sunday, and I do think that King David was not looking to go to the fellowship with the decaying body of his son. I think he was looking for fellowship with his son in heaven. So why would anybody look to fellowship with the decaying body of a loved one here? So anyway, he's talking about the children that have not, that are under the age of accountability. After the rapture, over half the world's population will be killed during the seal and trumpet judgments, and that the seal is the fourth seal, where a fourth of the world will be killed, and then the sixth trumpet. These are all in the first half of the first 3.5 years of the millennium, of the tribulation period. A third will die. So a third of the remaining, that lives you a half of that. So so he's pointing out that. Many more will be killed during the other plagues of judgment. Remember, there's a lot of plagues. We covered the seven-year period, a tribulation period, in about 6 or 7 minutes. So I don't want to diminish the importance of that. It's just that I get bogged down in some of those things, and I'm too ADD to keep going on that one, so I had to move fast through that one. Okay, millions of believers will be martyred. Let me say, many more will be killed during the other plagues of judgments. Millions of believers will be martyred by the Antichrist for refusing to worship him or take the mark of the beast. And then there will be, and those will be tribulation saints. Keep that in mind. And then there will be Gentiles who are cast into everlasting punishment for refusing to receive Christ during the tribulation period. After all that, very few people will remain. How many? Only God himself knows. So just get that concept there. Those that survive the tribulation period that are ready to go into the millennium, there's not going to be that many of them, of that people. Probably not us, because except for my straw man over here, I'm operating under the assumption that we're all believers here, so that means either we die and we go into, absent from the body but present with the Lord, or we are raptured at that time. So I would assume that none of us would be going into the millennial kingdom in a mortal body. We would be going in there in a glorified body. Nobody is going into the millennial kingdom, going into it, that is not saved. about those that are born in the millennial kingdom. That's a different story. But everybody that goes into the millennial kingdom will be saved. So keep that in mind. I do want to point out that there's various references in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament prophecies, but the first time 1,000 years is mentioned is in Revelation 20. So you might turn to 20, because we're going to start reading through that here eventually. The three positions of millennialism, premillennial, then you have a postmillennial, where that group of people thinks that it's things will get better until Christ comes. Not sure that could be defended. And then you have the all-millennial, that there is no kingdom other than what we have here. Although that doesn't explain why Christ would be bound for 1,000 years. Okay, we're not going to cover those. We're going to go into the premillennial, because that is the one, it follows the literal reading of the Bible, and I think that would be the understanding that most people would have if you're just following it through on the revelation that has been given to John. The time frame in the book of the Revelation is, one, he sees the seven churches. Again, I didn't cover that very in depth. We've covered that in the past. I think Pastor covered that a few years ago. Again, I don't want to diminish the importance of looking at those seven churches, because there were two that were very good churches, and the other five all had real serious problems. So that, I don't want to diminish that, but I'm looking at what's the end time right now. Then we had John's stepping into heaven and seeing, or being able, invited to look into, peek into heaven, and sees the church worshiping God. That's kind of an indication that the rapture happened there. And then from about chapter 4 to about 17, which we've really skipped, a lot is written there on the tribulation period. I think we're planning on being with Christ after the Bema judgment while all of that tribulation takes place. So again, if you find yourself on earth with the tribulation, that's what you want to turn right there to Revelation. I don't think we're going to be looking at that. But just in case you are, you'll be able to see what's in store for you. Okay, so did I cover a lot of that on my preface on that? I think that's what I wanted to say. So let's turn to Revelation 20, and, oh, I do want to stop here. The Revelation skips, there's no mention here of a 75-day period. That is in Daniel. But basically, between Revelation 19 and 20, you know, just backing up to that 21st verse, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. Of course, that's Jesus. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. That's the picture that we just see of what's left of the people that were disobeying or disobedient or not willing to accept or receive Christ as their Savior. So that's what happened to them. Then John just moves right on into the 1,000-year period, but there is a 75-day period. Daniel has another 75 days, 30, that is the judging of the what he calls the goats and the lamb. The lamb is symbolic for Christians, and the goats are symbolic for the unbelievers, or believers versus unbelievers. And then you had a 45-day period of judging the nations. But during this period of time, one place I've read here suggests that the topography of this whole earth is going to change during the tribulation period. Well, one example was, we saw that when Christ comes back in the Battle of Armageddon, when that's finished, Mount of Olives, which was right over here in our map, you know, Jerusalem's here, and Mount of Olives was split in two, north and south. So you have a lot of change in the earth. So one has suggested that for 75 days, God will be preparing this land here, this earth. Okay. With that, let's start in on chapter 20. Let's just go first three verses here and let's see what we have here. Delbert, why don't you jump right in there and grab that? A little while. The King James, does the King James talk in verse 3? I think someplace it said, I heard a commentary that he literally threw Satan into the bottomless pit. So it says cast. That's the same. Is that what the King James says too? So, but that's a picture that he just, the angel, not sure who that is. Some have suggested it's Michael, but whoever it is has been given the key, the strength to deal with Satan, who is, in my understanding, the strongest of all of the demons. But somehow, when anybody is given the key to deal with him, any angel for sure, he's going to pick Satan up and throw him into that bottomless pit, which is another name for, it's not the end result here, okay? It's the bottomless pit. That would be where all of the non-believers who have died, they're absent from their body, obviously, but they're not present with the Lord. If they're non-believers, they are in this place, probably the same place, Hades, Sheol, bottomless pit, might be the same word for the same place. But anyway, they're at that place of holding. We haven't found anything in the Bible here. There's been extra writing that no one's going to be able to pray that anybody in that bottomless pit out or give so much to a particular church to do that. So he sees that angel that comes down with that, and he lays hold of the dragon, which is Satan, and he's got to pick him up and throw him into this bottomless pit. Why does he have to put him there for 1,000 years? Because it says, but after these things, he must be released for a little while. Any ideas? I have my idea, but I want to hear what, there might be another one. Why would God be telling John that he must be released for a little while? It is part of his plan. We're going to see that, I just mentioned that everybody that goes into the millennial kingdom is saved. Okay? Those of us in our glorified bodies that either have died, been raptured, or went through the tribulation, came to Christ, was executed, became tribulation saints, they will have their glorified bodies, but those that survive the tribulation period, there will be Jews, not all of them, but there will be Jews, and there will be Gentiles that survive that period. But they are all saved, but they were able to evade the execution process and obviously the judgments that came down. And then, of course, when Christ returns, Christ knows the difference between his people and those that are unsaved at that point. So what is the purpose of that? And because those in their mortal bodies that enter the tribulation, yes. We are born in sin, that's correct. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's right. Everybody, exactly. We will be in those that are in their mortal bodies still are born of sin. Satan's not there. He's bound for the 1,000 years. And so we're going to be seeing them live for 1,000 years. Of course, we're in our glorified body at that point. They will reproduce. And we're going to see it. Prophet Jeremiah tells us that all Jewish people born in the millennial kingdom will come to Christ, but not all Gentiles, okay, that are born in the millennial kingdom. So we're going to see that here in a bit. But that's it. Those people that are born are still going to have a rebellious attitude or ability, let's say. Not all of them, but some. But that is really, as I see it, the final cleansing of who God, through his Son, Jesus, will allow into the new heaven. Yes, we're going to get to, yeah. Okay. This is the part of their rebellion, right? For eternity, right. As if we haven't seen enough of that going through Christ's return when he's just with the sword that comes from his mouth, or what, you know, the Bible says a sword. Is that a figure of speech, or is that a true sword? Whatever it is very dangerous, and it will kill everyone that is not his. And as, like I say, assuming we haven't seen enough, but he's really getting the point in here that yes, there will be a final rebellion at the end of the 1,000 years. Yep. So, very good. Okay. I think we're all, yes, Jim. Yeah, the Gentiles that have been born in the millennial kingdom would be his, yeah. Because over a 1,000-year period, we should be seeing here, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's here, but we're going to go over our summary there, maybe today, that those people in their mortal bodies will live 1,000 years. And there's a lot of reproducing. There's a whole lot of begetting going on there, let's say, okay? So those people, Jeremiah says that the Jewish people born in that period will accept Christ. Yes. Yeah, you're all getting ahead of me here. Yeah, I thought I was ADD, huh? Okay, I am. Okay, well, everybody saw enthused to get ahead. Let's just start reading 4 through 6, and we'll get to all of this stuff here. So, I have a volunteer for 4 through 6. John.
Sat upon them, judgment was given. Other souls of them that were beheaded
Okay, so let's stop there. And so we've got, he's seeing the those, he's talking about the tribulation saints, isn't he? And of course, going back to 1 Thessalonians 4, let's quick detour back there. I can find it here. First, this is the description of the rapture here. In verse 17, after being caught up to be with him, in verse 17, it says, "And thus we are always with the Lord." So keep that in mind. We will always be with the Lord, those that were dead in Christ first, and then those that were raptured. So we're there. We will always be with the Lord. I think you can go back to 1 Corinthians. You'll see that, and I think the Olivet Discourse, which, Lord willing, I'm kind of wanting to get to one of these days. This is the preface for that. What's our job going to be at that point? We'll hold that in as a teaser there. So, but we will always be with the Lord. And now coming back, and saw the souls of those that were beheaded, because they would not take the mark on their forehead or their hands. And they lived with Christ for 1,000 years. So that puts the tribulation saints in. Now the rest of the dead that it's talking here are the unbelievers. And what's happening to them? They're staying as unbelievers until that 1,000-year period. And so, of course, here's the spoiler alert. When that 1,000 years is over, and we know who's going to win that battle, everyone that is not Christ will be put into the final place, the lake of fire. And he's talking about the resurrected bodies that will be able to withstand that heat forever. Okay? Not a pretty picture either way. That's the unbelievers in their body will be transformed to be able to withstand the heat. They're not, okay, that's it. It's still torture. Okay. What else do I want to say on that one? Okay, so now, and then over such things, there shall be priests of God in Christ. And shall, okay, so the saints will be with him 1,000 years. Now, let's go on to 7 through 10. Unless anybody has any other comments on that part here, but I'm ready to go on into 7 and 10 here, I think so. Volunteer, Jim. Ever and ever. And yeah, you remember last Sunday we talked about the beast and the false prophet are the first two to populate that lake of fire. There they are, and now Satan and everybody that's followed him are going right into that. And there's a lot of souls that are doing that. So, okay. I think that's. I think that's all I wanted to say on that. Unless anybody else has any comment on that, so you can see that now we've jumped ahead to the rebellion at the end of the 1,000 years, and then let's just go on up and finish this on out, and then we'll go look at our summary that I passed out here. So on verse 11, let's through 15, have a volunteer for that. Pastor.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven came out of it. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, the book of life. The dead were judged out of the faith for the books, according to their work. He gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their work. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake.
This is the final judgment. This is the great white throne judgment. This is the one we do not want to be a part of because they're all guilty. That goes through this and will be spending eternity in the lake of fire. So we'll stop at that point and look at our summary. The next Sunday we'll cover. We'll move into the new heaven and the new earth. We'll say that, and I'll be interested in everybody think about how are we to respond, knowing what we now know, or have been able to piece together in this summary form here. So, if you have, on one side I put this is out of I'm not sure which one it is, but it's got a good summary of the. Christ's second coming, the beginning and the 75-day period, the beginning of the millennial, items that are going through. But then on the other side, as you go through here, I wrote some references down. I didn't get all of the references down on my copy. I've got my copy around here. But this summary has this, the second coming, sheep and the goat judgments, the millennium begins. The sheep and the goat judgment is mentioned at Matthew 25, starting at 31. Christ reigns in Jerusalem. That is in Isaiah 2, 3 to 4, and Isaiah 11, 2 to 5. The curse is removed except for death. There is a new temple established, and there will be temple sacrifices, and you can write this down, Ezekiel 40 to 46. We won't read all of those. There will not be any more war during this period of time. Be great economic prosperity. Lifespan will be 1,000 years, and that is in Isaiah 29, 18, and Isaiah 33, 24. Satan is bound, Revelation 20, 1 to 3, and we read that. David is prince over Israel. That's 2 Samuel 7, 11 to 16, and Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 17, 10 to 14. This will be populated by the mortals that survive the tribulation period and become believers and somehow are able to escape being executed. It's going to be populated by those of us in our resurrected bodies. Wait, I had something down on that. If we have time, we'll look at that. I'll come back to where we're coming up with the resurrected bodies. Who will those be? A time of peace and prosperity, mortals able to reproduce offspring. So over that 1,000-year period, like I say, there'll be a whole lot of begetting going on. Newborn need to received, or, I mean, he says accept. I don't know, it might be splitting hairs, but I kind of like the word receive Christ instead of accepting. But somehow Egypt is in 40-year dispersion. I haven't gotten into that part, but they put it here. I haven't I haven't looked close at that one. Christ rules as a dictator. We see dictator is not a positive term these days, but when you have somebody that's in perfection, you can think in terms of a benevolent dictator. They have what's at best interest, truly, what's at best interest for us, okay? We're accustomed to hearing dictators saying, well, I'm really for the common man, and they just kind of forget that second part. They steal from the rich, and they were going to give to the poor, but they just forgot that second part. You know, they steal from the rich. What do I do with all of this? Well, oh, maybe I better just keep it myself. So, but that's the way Christ, that's Isaiah 2, 3 to 4, and Isaiah 11, 2 to 5. It's a time of righteousness and justice. He wrote this kind of economic prosperities in there. Jeremiah 31, 12 to 14. The glory of Christ will abound. Jewish mortals will receive Christ. All Jewish mortals will receive. Let's look at Jeremiah 31, 34. I can find Jeremiah. There it is. It's after Isaiah. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. I think that's the one. This is under a new covenant. Let me see if I can read that one here. I've got that one down here. All Jewish. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is a new covenant with his people. So that is the indication right there that our authors of the Thomas Ice and I'm not sure if that was Ed Heinzen or Tim LaHaye in that one, but that the Jewish mortals born in that period of time will all accept Christ, not necessarily the Gentiles. It says, because the next one down here, some Gentile children will reject Christ. They will join Christ in that final rebellion. Great agriculture, productivity, unlike our drought of today that we're looking at here. But that's a good... all focus does appear to be in Israel, but we are seeing that this is Jerusalem, Israel, and the whole world when we look at that. So there is a whole world yet to explore at that point. No more wild animals. This is where in Isaiah 11, 6 to 7, saying the sheep will lie down with the lamb. But that's a God's, you know, it's not these 70-ish type people, you know, folk song that were into all of that drug-infested peace, love, and dope stuff here about how we're going to have this new earth. No, it's God's new earth, okay? If you remember, what were some of those old folk songs there? But they were just talking about how we were all going to... Age of Aquarius, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one as an example of rotten stuff, you know, but good example of rotten stuff. Anyway, time for safety. All mortals still have a sin nature. That's a key point there. But we don't have Satan loosed at this point. The church will reign with Christ. Again, I was just looking at that. 1 Corinthians. It's talking about the saints will be assisting in the judgment. I might look at that next week. Death against disobedient mortals. That's the final Satan being loosed, and God's law is written on human hearts. Nations gather yearly in Jerusalem, and everything will be holy to the Lord. Okay, then we're getting to the Satan loosed, and we just read about that in Revelation 27 to 10. Satan cast into the lake of fire, 20 verse 10, and then the millennium ends. Okay? That thousand-year period will end. Then we have the great white throne judgment that you can see there. And history, as we know it, becomes an end at that point. And we have just covered 1,000 years in less than 40 minutes. Comments, questions? I didn't have it written down. Except for death, because Satan is going to be loosed. The curse is removed. My understanding is no. We'll find out when we get there. But, of course, we'll be in our glorified bodies. And, yeah, the reference to the very end. Because death still is going to happen at the great white throne judgment. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Mike. Yes. Sometimes you want to grab somebody by the neck. Can't you see this? And no, that would not be the Christian thing to do. But you want to do that to say, this is, can't you see what's going on? We're having this, we've seen, even in today, we have the history to tell us. We have the Bible to give us the history. And now we have the prophecy to see what's going to happen in this period of time. So, can't you see? In fact, that's kind of the first, yeah. Who's in charge? Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I could see other reasons, like people just enjoy and love their sin. And the concept of a creator being there, it's not it's a philosophical argument that we've evolved over millions of billions of years, because they don't want to accept that there is a creator that we will answer to at some time. And it's not a scientific thing about, you can go back and to Genesis, which maybe one of these days we will, and we'll just study through there. That is a fact that's given. It's a fact that's referenced of what has happened. Jesus, our Lord, mentions that. And we're going to see that in the Olivet Discourse too, because he mentions just like in the days of Noah. Well, Noah was a real man. Our Lord said he was a real man. Our Lord knows that there was a huge world flood. And to argue with that, I don't know. How do you stop that? One place we did see here that we will not be was it Mark K. K. Wood, Cahill, had a book, What One Thing You Won't Be Doing in Heaven? You won't be evangelizing. And I think I just read through that here as I was listening to somebody read in Revelation here. We will not be evangelizing in heaven. Who would we be evangelizing to? We're all saved at that point. And if you're not saved, you aren't going to be there. So Mark Cahill, I don't know if you know who he is. He was he played basketball at, was it Auburn? He roomed with Charles Barkley, and I don't think Mr. Barkley is saved, but that he played college basketball there. He is a big, tall, lanky. Yeah, he tried to witness to him, and some people you just can't grab a hold of. So I think it was Auburn. Yes, John. Has that nature, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Satan hadn't made me do that, I'd have been okay.
Right.
Or if I, whatever it is, and God covers, I think, every situation man could possibly be able to.
Yeah. I mean, Adam and the woman, as she was called before they were kicked out of the garden, they only had to keep from doing one thing. And they did it. So if they only had one thing that they could not do and they messed it up, just think of all the things that...
But see, Satan was there.
Satan was there, right, and deceived.
So
but
exactly,
yeah,
there,
Satan wasn't there.
Okay.
Right,
no,
right.
It still
yeah, we still have that sin nature. Well, okay, we are past our time, so we better wrap it up here and get ready for service here, sir. Let's pray and we'll be done here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that you've given us. We thank you for the revelation that you give to John, to give to us, that we can be certain of our salvation. And we pray that those that can call upon you, that more can call upon you, that we can be a servant of yours to lead more, to make that call to you. That your promise will be available to them, and that you lead us through this day, that and this week, and that we ask that they open our hearts and our minds to the message that will be brought today in our service, and guide and direct us today. In Jesus' name, we pray.